look, everybody, always be hiring. You're always hiring. Doesn't matter. If you've got a full team and everybody's great, you are always hiring. You are looking around. When you see someone, meet someone who you think might be good for your team, tell them to come in and interview. Have them come in, get them in the system, get them on your radar, because as everybody knows, Katie, you know, you can have someone today and tomorrow you need to fill that position.
This is Growth in Dentistry, a dental intelligence podcast where we ask the question, what does growth in dentistry look like to you? I'm Katie Polson, a dental hygienist and your host. Welcome to another episode of Growth in Dentistry. I'm Katie Polson, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. It's going to be a good one, but before we get started, I wanted to welcome our new listeners. Thank you for joining. This is our growth series of podcasts. We have something for everyone. We have our deep dive episodes, which those are, the goal with those is an hour of listening to somebody who's currently doing it. Their sleeves are rolled up. Top 10% of our practices in certain data metrics, we kind of go deep into how they got there. So great episodes. We encourage you to check those out. We've got some episodes for DSOs, if that tickles your fancy. And then we have episodes like these, which are talking to amazing key opinion leaders and leaders in the industry about how to solve problems. And today we're going to do that quick tips in 30 minutes. So grateful to have you here. If Facebook is a place that you like to hang out, come join us there and join the dental intelligence community. We've got a lot of data nerds. We come and talk about automation and data and how it can improve your practice. Also, if you aren't a current customer of dental intelligence and you want to be one, we are giving listeners who $50 to when you complete a demo for listeners that that go to get.dentalintel.com/podcast. And that link will also be in our show notes. So without further ado, that's all we got as far as housekeeping. So glad to have Paul Edwards, CEO of Cedar HR Solutions here on the show. I've just been so impressed with Cedar, the mission of Cedar, and also what you do. So give us a little bit of background on who you are, what your company is, and those of you that aren't familiar.
Okay. Katie, thanks. I've been kind of looking forward to this myself. Okay. So I'm a co-founder and the CEO of the company. I lead the team that leads the team that runs Cedar. For anybody who doesn't know, Cedar's primary function in this world is to help office managers and owners who are managing their offices to solve all the little and big HR problems that come up in their offices. And I mean, I think we all know that our biggest asset is our employees, and we also have to spend a lot of time hiring and trying to keep people aligned. And so we have we play a big role in that for about 3,000 dental and medical practices across the country. So that's our base. We have a podcast, or I have a podcast called What the Hell Just Happened in HR. And so I get that call all the time, Katie, is you won't believe what the hell just happened in here. And can you help me solve this problem? So that's why we named the podcast that. We have a great Facebook group called HR Basecamp. We have about, 9,000 members in HR Basecamp. And if you're so inclined, you can go there and ask questions, but really that's our primary function. And then we do it within the confines of compliance for state, federal, and local law. So the way we might solve one problem in San Francisco would not be the exact same approach we might take in New York or South Carolina or North Dakota or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, so there is a compliance component to what we do. And then we provide a really robust human resource management system software, which kind of helps us help you as well.
Awesome. What was the brainchild, or how did you come to do this?
It was an accident. If we go back in the way back machine, I owned a couple of live music venues that were pretty successful on the East Coast. I'm 61 now, so we can go back in the way back machine, Katie. And I know it's hard to believe for those of you who see me on video, but it's true. So Katie, you're not supposed to laugh at that joke, but anyway, when I had the live music venues, one of the things I also had was about 65 employees. Something else that occurred during that time, and it was like a 15-year span before I sold the music venues. I also had a management company, which worked with bands and represented them, and we did a lot of contractual work and stuff with the bands because they were touring and some of them were playing amphitheaters. Flash forward, I sell that, and I am doing a few things, kind of moving along in life in my 40s, and I stumble into a couple of opportunities, and one of them was that someone asked me, because of my past history, bear with me, Katie, I'm getting there, because of my past history, someone asked me if I could head up an associate agreement program whereby we would provide business coaching to doctors, starting with, are you sure you need an associate, and going all the way through that process with them, and then helping them to providing an agreement to them based off of what their business needs were and you know, the best way to approach it. And so we were doing that, and we were having really, I was having great success. I was loving it. I was learning a lot. I had some good mentors. And one of the doctors said, Paul, you did such a neat job at that. You must be really good at HR and policies and stuff. And I said, well, doctor, yes, I am. Do you have a handbook you'd like for me to look at? And so I pulled the handbook in, and at the time I was surrounded by lawyers, attorneys, because that's what we had to do to make this thing work. Yeah. So coaching from attorneys, not so great. They don't really understand business. None of them ever had 50 employees. But, you know, on the legal side, you need that brain there. And so we pulled the handbook in, and one thing led to another. We spent the next couple of years crafting and doing a few handbooks, bringing in lawyers who were experts at doing it. And then from there, we realized that it wasn't as much the handbook, which is super important. It was the business help, the help with how to talk to people, how to lead people. And that has evolved and changed since 2006 when we started to today in ways that I don't even recall. It's changed so much.
Selfishly, I really wanted to hear that background, and I'll tell you a little bit why. I told you before that I was so excited to talk to you, but a little bit of an insight. So I have my graduate degree in professional communication. And when I studied, I talked a lot. We did conflict resolution and yada, yada, yada. And I studied the communication between dentists and hygienists and like all of that, and to figure out like how that works,
right.
My thesis on that. And when I was done with my graduate degree, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I really think that just there's just HR needs for dentists, especially like the ones that have like a couple associates in there, and they've got 20 employees or something. And their office managers aren't equipped. They're just so overwhelmed, you know?
Yep.
And then I ended up at Dental Intelligence in marketing. And I didn't do that, but as an outside perspective, looking at what you guys accomplish, if I could have written what I wanted to do after graduate school, I would have created Exceder HR. So like, I'm just so impressed with what you guys are doing for people in the community, because it's so needed.
It's a big part of what we're doing next year is really focusing on outreach and education for the community. And so I think of the community in like a couple of different ways. First of all, the dental community, that's like, that's a larger community, and we're a part of that in every way that we can be. Then I think of community as our members. So that's the close in people. They've got a membership with us. They've got instant access to our experts, a great set of experts who go through a ton of training and just keep getting better and better and better as they progress through their career here. And then there's that sub community that I talked about, like that we have at HR Basecamp at Facebook. You don't have to pay anything to be in there. You don't have to do anything to ask a question and get some great answers. So I'm excited about education and leadership and tying that together and creating business goals, setting the vision, doing all those things that you can do as a way to make HR better.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Cedar has this great, this thing we you have to kind of come up with your mission and your purpose, and you want to stay on that. And we have better workplaces make better lives. And we really do believe that. And so that drives us to innovate. And part of our innovation is going to be in leadership. And
I definitely think, and I'm sure you've felt a shift since COVID as well on teams and making a better workplace. It's definitely, I mean, when I was in graduate school and when you created your company, this the production, like coaching was so production focused, right? And I feel like it's shifted towards coaching teams and creating a better culture. And what
Yep.
better company than you guys to offer that advice? So I'm excited to get into our topic today. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
Really
yeah,
awesome.
absolutely.
So our goal with these episodes is to provide some actionable advice to solve a problem. And in January, we're solving the problem of what are, you know, hiring problem, well, new systems for 2023 is really what the major goal is. A lot of, I think the new year is a good time for people to reevaluate what systems they currently have or things to switch up. And one of those is definitely the system of hiring and rehiring or in a volatile job market. So I guess we'll start with, first of all, software, what are some of the kind of the most missed common, I call them opportunities instead of like mistakes that you would see when it comes to a practice in managing their dental teams. And we'll start there and see where it gets us.
Well, I think if you start here, which is working with a good team in any capacity, whether it's on a basketball court or building homes for Habitat for Humanity, or whether or not you're volunteering at your local kitchen, or whether or not it's in your dental practice, working with a good team is really can be an incredible experience, mm-hmm. an opportunity for you as a manager or as an owner. It is, in fact, a privilege. And so I think if you start from there, so you got to get your head in the right place. You have to be approaching, you got to approach this overall, this kind of really big subject that so many different experts have a lot of good things that they can talk about. For me, from that point of view, so if you're seeing people, managing people as a burden, mm-hmm. as opposed to a privilege, then it's going to show up for you throughout the year as a burden. And mm-hmm. your leadership style is going to be more paternal. You're going to be more of a micromanager. Your resignation that, oh God, I got to go back out and hire another person, mm-hmm. it plays out. With your team if you're not very careful. And then I think that the other thing that I would focus on, Katie, is you should see working for you in a professional capacity and a dental practice inside where there's heating and air conditioning, known hours, no weekend hours. It's a professional job. Many of them pay very, very well. They have benefits, all the things that are going on there, that dynamic, you should see that as a privilege. Mm-hmm. In other words, the people, there are many jobs out there, lots of really good people working not great jobs. And you're always looking for good people who would like to work the great job at where you are. So don't lose sight that the jobs that you have to offer are really great jobs. I love that.
Dentistry is a great place to be.
It really is. It really is. I can't tell you, in my younger days before the music business, I got out of college. I worked construction. There was a time when I worked as a land surveyor in North Carolina in the summertime. And you were outside, and we would drive by the hospital, and I would be angry at the air conditioning that was going on inside of that building. And, you know, people were not sweating, and they weren't out fighting snakes and thorns and everything. So, just to give everybody a little.
That's not good when you're jealous of the people in the hospital, Ben.
It's not.
That's a great perspective to have of changing your mindset and doing a little bit of mindset work of remembering what a great place it is that you are offering people to work at.
And what a privilege it is to lead people. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I think one of the, and we've talked kind of an ad nauseum about hiring. Mm-hmm. It's such a hot topic in 2022. And as we are in 2023, things haven't probably changed much.
No.
So your company seems to be a really big industry leader. Mm-hmm. in offering advice, especially in this volatile market that we are in, on hiring. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people that want to know about that. So what advice, I guess, do you have for practices that are hoping to fix their hiring problems that they've had last year?
Well, we've been doing this so long and we've been writing guidance on this for so long. I want everybody to just realize something. We had a rough patch and we still have a little bit of a rough patch going on right now. But even in 2017 and 2018, everybody was complaining about hiring and not being able to find good people. And there weren't enough people. You put job ads out and you weren't getting good candidates. And so there was a lot of ad nauseum guidance coming from us and everybody else trying to crack that code. So it's always been hard. And I don't think it's ever going to get that much easier. I can tell you, looking into the 3,000 practices that we work with, and that's one of the good things about working here and working with us, is you do get the benefit. We are filtering in the information. We know how hiring's going. We know what the hot topics are. And I think most offices are getting lots of people applying. Mm-hmm. So that's a big change. You're getting way more people to choose from. Now, whether the quality is good or not is a completely different matter. And that's a whole nother subject we can get into.
Yeah.
But I do want to tell everybody that we're on the leading edge. And I think dentists are really the canary in the coal mine. Mm-hmm. When I see my dentist pull back, I know there's a problem in the economy.
I think economists think that way about dentistry as well. Like it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we see right now is that lots of people are applying for jobs. And it's true in dentistry. Now, are there pockets where people are still struggling? And for whatever reason, obviously they are. I would also say, if we give some guidance here, again, I talk about that top-down thinking. Mm-hmm. This is a piece of information, a piece of guidance I got from a great guru like 10, 12 years ago, a guy named Greg Stanley. Greg still does the work, but Greg said, look, everybody, always be hiring. You're always hiring. Doesn't matter. If you've got a full team and everybody's great, you are always hiring. You are looking around. When you see someone, meet someone who you think might be good for your team, tell them to come in and interview. Have them come in, get them in the system, get them on your radar, because as everybody knows, Katie, you can have someone today and tomorrow you need to fill that position. So being an always hiring mindset is kind of a cool place to be, because it means as a manager, you're always thinking about what could you do to improve upon your last hire? What can you do to improve upon the skills that you're missing? I think a lot of times we're just trying to fill a hole. Mm-hmm. Without taking the time to kind of run through some filters and say, look, next time I hire at the front desk, I need to add this to the front desk. I need to add this talent, this experience, this type of person to it. Mm-hmm. I just think that's a good mindset to be in.
It changes it from it being a burden when someone leaves, right? That you can be happy for them if they're choosing to, whatever it is that they're choosing to move on from, right?
Yep.
And that you are okay because you are moving instead of this huge thorn on your side. And it's just like this constant revolving door that makes it horrible for you and ruins you. Because I know a lot of office managers that
can't
do hiring anymore. I'm done. I'm just done with this job.
Just done. Yeah, I know. And I get it. I do. I get it. I get to say all these great things that you should do. I don't do them here. I haven't. HR person.
Yeah.
I do get involved in it. And I do want everyone to recognize who listens to this podcast that if you have a manager who's good at filling positions with good people, you've got one hell of a manager there. That's a very high value person on your team. Likewise, if you're that manager who's good at doing that, I'll tell you right now on this podcast, you are a high value member of your team. And it's no mistake that you are good at what you do. You know, there's no natural talent. You have to work at being good at hiring.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's a lot easier for me to be like, hey, I've never hired anyone in my life. And here I'm giving you advice. Right. So like kudos to you that do it on a regular basis and firing too. Like get the conflict that you have on a regular basis is something to applaud. So one of the things that was pointed out to me when we were preparing for the show is your take on one-on-one meetings with your employees. And I would love to dive into a little bit of that because I think the concept of that will help it so that they don't have to be in those positions of hiring often. So as we're moving into 2023, thinking about some of the systems that you want to rework, I think this might be one that they could think of. And I love, I mean, that was one of, when I studied conflict resolution between dentists and hygienists, this was one of the things that brought up to me as one of the solutions to resolving that conflict is taking the time to do these one-on-one meetings.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about your ideas and theories behind the importance of those and how to do them.
So one-on-ones were typically reserved for larger businesses who had middle management, who also had the perceived time to have managers do the one-on-ones. Because make no mistake, one-on-ones take 10 to 20 minutes and they take up time. So
emotion and
preparation, and you need to take some notes, and it's not just something that you easily do. The point of one-on-ones, let me talk about it from one point of view. This is my point of view. So CEO, I got to grow the business. I got to keep the business on its wheels. We have to set a vision, and we have to do yearly planning and everything. When I'm working in one-on-ones, that's where my team is engaged. They're engaged with those goals. They're engaged with what we're going to be doing going forward. Mm-hmm. So in my one-on-ones, it's rare I use that modality to tell someone they need to improve or stop being gossiping or whatever it is. It's rare that I have to get into those conversations, but I do sometimes have to get into those personal conversations. With them in the one-on-one. So one-on-ones are really a focus on what we're up to. And if you want to talk about what engages an employee, set a goal. What engages individual team members on a team? You tell them, this is what we're up to. We're going to go out and win this game. We're going to win this season. We're going to build this house. We're going to feed these people in this homeless shelter today. We're going to get that meal out. It's going to be a good meal. If you engage people in a goal and in a vision, they can see their place in your business. So it was like, how do I solve engagement? And I answered that with do a little bit of vision setting. Get your team together and set some goals for next year. And fix the problems that are happening in the practice. If you're not getting enough referrals, figure out why and fix the problem at both ends of that. One of them is maybe you're not making people happy and they're not sending people. And the other one might be you're not asking enough, you know, just ask. So that would be my answer there.
Yeah, I love it. One of the things that we talk, I mean, I get the opportunity to write a lot about, we wrote an ebook on this and the idea of one-on-ones being so high emotional. I love that you brought up setting goals, and we're using data to drive those goals, right?
That's it. That's it.
And remove that emotion from the meeting. So everyone has access and they're all looking at the same data, the same goals, and they can, like, as a hygienist, I can say, you know, I set my goal to, you know, do this much hygiene reappointment percentage, and I'm not hitting it. And I know I'm not hitting it. And they know I'm not hitting it. And I'm going to go into this meeting and I'm going to be prepared to talk about why I haven't hit my goal. Right.
And not defend it, not defend why you haven't hit your goal, but to talk about it and ask
what
for
struggles.
Some help. Yeah.
What struggles am I coming up against? What blockers do I have so that I can't hit my goal? Right. And it removes that emotion from that. And and not that this is a dental intelligence advertisement, because that is not the goal of these shows, but to understand whatever data reporting you use, I hear so often that they don't do the one-on-ones because of the emotion that they get from those meetings.
It's not a pitch session.
Too volatile, right?
So that's the thing. You have to set the tone and not allow that to be the case. That's what you have to do as a leader. And so we tell you, just start doing them and figure it out. Uh-huh. But in the, you know, the best guidance I could give is if everybody thinks this is a chance to come and complain about one another and everything that's wrong, then that's not a one-on-one. That's what that's a session for complaining. And we don't have those are not productive at all.
Yeah.
So anybody who brings a problem they want to talk about, they need to bring some solutions to it. But you know, your job as a leader, as a manager, as an owner, and a one-on-one is to be focused forward. The other modalities, which are corrective actions, progressive corrective coaching is what the methodology we use, they happen immediately. If you're giving someone constant corrective coaching about being late, about their professional communication, about all those things, then yeah, the one-on-one is about cheerleading that they're doing good in those areas or doing better in those areas. I mean, that's just how that's going to, you know, that's how that's going to happen.
I love that, that if you're doing the correcting constantly, like you've said, then it removes also that emotion from those, from those meetings. That's great advice. Super great advice. I mean, this half an hour went by so fast for me. I could talk, but like I said, I could talk about this stuff all day long.
Yeah, me too, obviously. Yep, me too.
So I'm excited. I have listened to a couple of your episodes. I'll continue to do it because I do feel this is such a good topic. Well, I'm going to ask you the last question we ask every single person on our show.
Okay.
Because growth means a lot to us at Dental Intelligence, and it means something different to everyone. And I'd love to hear what growth in dentistry means to you from your perspective.
I think growth in dentistry is you're setting the vision for your next year, right? So you're setting the vision and you're doing it in a collaborative way with your entire team. So that is the place where growth can build from. You're talking about delivering the results. So when you're delivering results throughout the year, that means you're reporting on how you're doing. You've got the work organized. You're collaborating. You're hitting your numbers. You're rewarding people for hitting your numbers. You're like, if you're a manager, it's a funny image for me, but I mean, I have to show up in a cheerleader outfit. You know, it's just like I'm always cheerleading people towards that. And that provides growth both for me and for the team, because I'm always trying to help them. I'm trying to help them solve as many problems as they can solve on their own so that I don't have them dumped in my lap. How about we put it in a self-serving way? Mm-hmm. And then I think the last thing is that you're multiplying your people. And I don't mean you're adding people. I mean, you're multiplying your people. You are identifying your difference makers. You are giving ownership to people. You are multiplying them so that when they go home at the end of the day, they felt like they had ownership over success and they're willing to take ownership over things that aren't working and try to self-identify and try to repair those things. And then I think the last thing for leaders and owners and managers is expect and inspire personal growth from your team and from yourself. These are all growth words. These are growth concepts. So to me, that's what growth in dentistry means. And if you can do that, everything else will take care of itself. You'll have better retention of employees. You'll have better engagement. You'll have better outcomes with your patients. And I think you'll have better business outcomes too.
Yeah, love that. I'm a big fan of growth mindset over here. So really, really awesome. Thank you so much, Paul, for being on the show and for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us and teach us some of your wisdom. If people want to find you or use your services, where can they do that?
Well, they can go to the website, cedarsolutions.com. I encourage you to go there and just enroll in one of the forms to get the education. We don't do the sales call thing. So I would encourage you to go there. Look, subscribe to the podcast. They're short, 10 to 12 minutes long. The format is they try to stump me most of the time in it. So I don't know what the question is going to be. And so we've done everything from you can't pay people in chicken to all sorts of things.
Awesome.
It was a Chick-fil-A thing in North Carolina.
I missed that one. I'll have to go listen to it.
It's pretty good. It's actually pretty good. And and you can also go to HR Basecamp if Facebook is your thing. You can go there and join the community and sit in the stands and cheer us on as we answer questions. And
that's awesome. Really great. So good. Well, this has been Growth in Dentistry, a Dental Intelligence podcast. Again, special thanks to our guest, Paul Edwards from Cedar HR. You can find those links also in our show notes. We'll make sure to add those there if you are looking for them. And that's it. Thank you to our marketing department for all their work on this show. I'm Katie Polson. Keep growing.